Today's daf is daf lamed vav amud aleph, and we're going to start on the second line, kasha derab yosi ad rab yosi. What we have to remember is, as we saw yesterday, on daf lamed hey amud beis, rab yosi is of the opinion that if you have a suffik erev, it's kosher. And the Gemara is now going to posit a l'chora contradiction to that statement of Rabbi Yossi from Mikvos, because in Mikvos we also had a quote of Rabbi Yossi on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, that if you have someone who is suffek whether his tvila was valid or not, for example, let's say he was tamei betuma derabbanan, like he ate Oakland Tmeim, and then after he contracted Tuma Derabbanan, he went into a mikveh. We're not sure about the status of that mikveh. And in that case, Rabbi Yossi Paskins, he's quoted in the Brisa as saying that he's Tame. And we're going to go L'chumra, even though it's only a Tuma Derabbanan. So why is it then in the case of an Erev, we're not sure if the Erev was valid or not, Rabbi Yossi activates the principle of Safik Derabbanan L'kula, but in the case of Tvila and Tuma, there he says that despite the fact that it's a Safik Derabbanan, it's Tame L'chumra. Amrab Huna Bar Chinina Shani Tuma Hol V'yeshla Ikar Minatora Shabbos Nami Do Raisahi, Kasov Rabbi Yossi, Tchumen Derabbanan. The Gemara postulates a very fascinating shita of Rabbi Yossi, in which Rabbi Yossi differentiates between two categories of Derabbanan. Generally speaking, we think of lumping them all together. But Rabbi Yossi differentiates between, number one, a Tuma Derabbanan, which Yeshla Iker Minatorah. There is a basis for the Tuma in the Torah. The Rabbanan extended it and applied it to a case which is only Derabbanan. And in such a case of Yeshla Yikar Min HaTorah, the Rabbanan could be Machmir even in a Suffolk. So you have a Tuma Derabbanan which has a basis in the Torah. There are many situations in which the Torah recognizes that you've conveyed and contracted Tuma. Here, the Torah says for one reason or another you haven't contracted Tuma, but the Rabbanan applied Tuma even in that case. In such a case, the Rabbanan very machmir, it's Yesh Lo Iker Min HaTorah. They don't want to be mekil in this the Rabbanan, because it might come to a situation where people will be more lenient even in a Dorais. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute, what about Shabbos? Why is it that Rabbi Yossi, in the case of a Sofek Eruv, is Machsha the Eruv? After all, when we talk about Yitzia Chutz L'Tchum on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go beyond 2,000 Amah of the outskirts of the city, that's an Issa Doraisa. So Gemara answers, Kasav Rabbi Yossi Tchum Derabbanan. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that the derivation of Tum of Tchumen is only an Asmachta, it's not a Doraisa. And the Gemara is basically giving two answers here. Number one, according to Rabbi Yossi, Tchumen is only Derabbanan. And number two, it's Ein Lo Ikar Min HaTorah. It's not a Derabbanan which extends some sort of pre-existing Issa Doraisa. It's an entity unto itself, which Rabbanan created. And it would seem from other sources, not here in the Bavli, but in the Yerushalmi, even if you hold that the Issa Tchumen is the Rabbanan, that's as far as Alpayim Amo is concerned. However, there's another shear of Chutz L'Tchum, which is called Shneimasar Mil, 12 Mil, which is a much larger area. And it seems that the Yerushalmi is of the opinion that even if I hold Tchumen Derabbanan, but in the case of Shneimasar Mil, it's Doraisa. Our Bavli makes no such distinction. The implication of the Bavli is that all Tchumen, even if you go 12 Mil and more, that also is nothing more than an Issa Derabbanan, and it's Ein Lo Ikar Min HaTorah. On the side, we might mention that in the Gemara in Masechta Beitza, we also find a kula in Mukta, and that seems to be based on the same principle that we see here, that Ein la Iker min haTorah, that Mukta is a rabbinic creation. And as such, we could be Mekil, for example, in a case where Mukta fell on Yontif into a mixture, and you could add to that mixture in order to be mevatel it, which you normally we don't do, but because Mukta is an Isa derabbanan she'ein la Ein la Iker min haTorah. Ibai Samit, the Gemara gives now a second. This is a second of a series of three answers to explain Rabbi Yossi. Hadidei hadrabe. In other words, when Rabbi Yossi was machmir in the case of Suffolk Tuma Durabana, that was his own opinion. When he was mekil in a Suffolk Eruv, that was the opinion of his Rebbeim that he was transmitting. And Deker Nami, we could see from the language of the Mishnah some indication of that interpretation. The Ketani, when it says in the Mishnah, quote, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Omrim, Suffolk Erev Kosher, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Av Tulmus, Heid, Mishum Chamisha, Zekenim, Shesuffolk Erev Kosher. So it sounds like, from the language of the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yossi is only quoting Av Tulmus, and he in turn was quoting five Zekenim, and they were Machshir, a Suffolk Eruv, and that's the opinion that's presented here and of Av Tulmus in the name of five Zekenim. It's not necessarily the opinion of Rabbi Yossi himself. Shema Mino, therefore we assume that Rabbi Yossi would be Machmir in a Suffolk Eruv, just like he was Machmir in Suffolk Tuma Durabana. Rav Amar, a third answer. Rabbi Yossi holds that Suffolk Durabana was Lakula. Hasam, in the case of Suffolk Tuma, and I'm sorry, in the case where he was Tomei and it was a Suffolk Tara, it was a Suffolk whether he jumped into a kosher mikvah. Hainu Tami, the Rabbi Yossi, Hame, Tomei Alchez Kosev, Emelo Toval. Since the person before he went into the mikvah definitely was in the status of a Tomei, there's no question about that. That certainty creates what's called a chazaka. Now you want to know, did the tvila itself work? Was it effective to remove his state of tuma? So then we're going to say Emelo Toval. We're not going to assume that the tvila was a valid tvila in order to undermine the chazaka that we have. Our mission, on the other hand, is talking about a Suffolk Eruv. And in a Suffolk Eruv, we have the case where he was Ma'ariv, let's say, with Truma, and we're not sure if the Truma contracted Tuma at the onset of Shabbos. So in such a case, Adarab, the Chazaka tells me, Lakula, that since this Truma had a Cheskes Tara, we assume that it continues to be tar until we know for sure that the situation has changed. Now Rashi here introduces another element into the equation. Rashi says that we also have a suffix as to whether or not he's walking chutz l'tchum, and that depends upon whether the Erev is effective and valid or not. So we should have a chazaka that tells me that he doesn't have the rights to go beyond the Tchum of Shabbos, unless we know for sure there's an Erev. So the original Chazaka tells me that there is no Erev, and there's nothing to rely on. But apparently, Rashi says, since there's another Chazaka Lahakil, and that's the Cheskes Tara of the Truma, when we posit together one Chazaka against the other, we apply the principle of Suffolk Drabbana Lakula. It's like we have a Teku, and therefore we're going to be Mekil in a Suffolk Drabbana. Where did Rabbi Yossi say that we have to be machmir in a Tumah Derabanan with a suffix? The answer is because Hemed Tomei al Cheskasa, we only have one Chazaka, and that's the Cheskas Tumah of the person who went to the mikvah. Now the Gemara asks if the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi to be Metami a suffix Tovel is because of the Chazaka. Why is he Metami even in the second case of the Mishnah Mikvah? So that second case was the case where a person was tovel in a mikveh, and we're not sure at what point in time the mikveh became what's called a chasera, and it only has 39 saw instead of 40 saw. Did that happen, that change take place before he jumped into mikveh or afterwards? So the Gemara says, Adarabba, Hamed mikveh al chezkos of yemesh alo chasar. Why are you using the Cheskes Tuma of the Gavra and saying that he jumped into the mikveh, he was Tame? We have to have proof positive to change his status and establish that he's Tar. Why not say the opposite? We know that at one point in time, the mikveh itself was Mole, and it had full 40 Sa'. Let's continue that situation until we know certainly that it changed. And therefore the mikveh has its own chazaka, that it's kosher and it's Mole, and it's not chaser. And the Gemara answers, that's an excellent question. B'mikveh shelo nimdad. The case here is a mikveh where they never actually measured it, and there was never a moment in time when we were absolutely certain that it had 40 saw. If that be the case, then we don't have a cheskas mikveh, hamid mikveh al cheskas. So all we have is the gavra, and we know he's tamei, albeit a tumid rabbana, but nevertheless, hamid tamei al cheskas, and therefore Rabbi Yossi says he remains tamei. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Ketzad Omer Rabbi Yossi Sofek Erev Kosher. Under what circumstances did Rabbi Yossi apply this principle that a Sofek Erev is kosher? The case is Erev Betruma. He had Truma Tahora, and later on it contracted Tuma. Sofek Mibon Yom Nitmei Sofek Mishchashecha Nitmei. We're not sure exactly at what moment in time this Truma contracted Tuma. Was it before nightfall, before the end of Bein HaShemashos, or it was already at the beginning of Bein HaShemashos? The Chayin, another situation, where we're not talking about Tumah V'Tara, but rather we're talking about Tevel and Afrasha, is Beperos, he was Ma'ariv Beperos of Tevel, and he hadn't removed Truma, and eventually he moved Truma. We're not sure. Safik Mimod Yom Nitkenu. Nitkenu means they were Mafresh Truma, and they moved the Issa Tevel. Was that before Bein HaShemashos? Or Safik Mishachashecha Nitkenu, perhaps the Truma was removed after Bein HaShemashos, Areyu Safik Erev Vekosher. And the Braisa says, Aval Erev Betruma Safik Tahora Safik Tmeya, or Vechein Beperosh Safik Nitkenu Safik Lo Nitkenu, Einze Safek Eruv Kosher. So at the beginning of this price, it says clearly that Rabbi Yossi was Machshir Truma in a Safek situation, in a scenario where we don't know exactly at what point the Truma contracted Tuma, or Peros exactly at what point they were Mafresh, the Trumas of Maisris. So Gemara says, Maishna Truma, the Amrinin Hame Truma al Cheskaso, V'yema Tahorehi. One second, if the reason why Rabbi Yossi is going to be Masha the Eruv is because of the Cheskas Tahara of the Truma, when we apply that to Peros, we should come to the exact opposite conclusion. Peros Nami Hame Tevel al Cheskaso. We know that at one point in time, before Bein HaShemashos, these Peros were Tevel, and therefore they were excluded and disqualified from Eruv. Now you're going to tell me, well, maybe he was Mafresh before Bein HaShemashos. How do we know that? We should apply the Cheskas Tevel to these Peros, V'yemelo Niskenu. And we should assume that during the period of Bein HaShemashos, when the Eruv had to be Chal, they were still in the state of Tevel. And Rabbi Yossi therefore should have logically invalidated the Eruv in the case of Peros, which are Sofik Tevel, based on the Cheskas Tevel. So the Gemara answers, you know what? We're talking about a situation of Peros Tevel, and there was a Sofik exactly when he was Mesakeh in the Tevel, and Rabbi Yossi in that case would passel the mikveh, v'lo tema, but that's not the case in the Mishnah, Sofik Mibon Yom Nitkenu. That's not the correct text in our Mishnah, that we don't know whether the tikkun, meaning that frasha, took place before nightfall or after nightfall, ela ema, but rather we have to reinterpret the Mishnah. Is safik mi bojom nidmu, safik mi shechashecha nidmu. In other words, we're not talking about Paris of Tevel, we're talking about Paris of Chulin. And you had already removed the trumas of maestros, they were mitukonim, and now they're mutabachil, but what happened subsequently is they got mixed up in a taroves of truma, and therefore they became asur to achilas Yisrael, and we're assuming now there was no bittul. Now we don't know at what point in time did this chulin become, or shall we say, fall into a taroves of truma. Didn't happen before Bein Hashmashos, and therefore the Erev is not Royal Achila because of this din of Taroves, or perhaps the incident took place after Chashecha. In this case, Rabbi Yossi says the Erev is a valid Erev, and we're going to apply the principle of Hamed Peros Al Cheskosom Bein Hashmashos, and their Chazaka was that they were Chulin Mitukanim. By Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Merav Huna, Hoyulafanosh Dei Kikros. He had two loaves of truma in front of him. Achas tmeya v'achas tori. He doesn't know which one is tmeya and is excluded from Eruv. He doesn't know which one is tahor and is included in Eruv. V'yomar, so he's a smart guy, and he says to his shliach, Eruvu li batahora b'chal makom shehi. What I want you to do is take these two kikros of lechem and put them at the end of the truma. And make a declaration that that kikar, we don't know which one it is, that tahora, should be my eruv. Mao, is that valid? Lamaisa, keep in mind, Rabbo, say if he wanted to eat any one of these two kikros, he would be enjoined from doing so because he might be eating the tmeya. So the Gemara explains, Tiboy le Rabbi Meir, Tiboy le Rabbi Yossi. We can have this suffix. Whether or not we accept Rabbi Yossi, who in general says Safek Erev is Asur, or Shitas Rabbi Yossi, who is Matir in a Safek. And let's go through it one by one. Tiboy le Rabbi Meir, ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Meir. So when did Rabbi Meir say that if you have a case of a Safek Truma, and you don't know whether the Tmeya took place before or after Chashecha, and it's not an Eruv, that's only Deleka Tahora, you can't point to one particular Kikar and say that for sure is Tahora. And here in this case, he knows that one of these two kikros is for certain tahora, and therefore the Erev should be valid vis-a-vis that particular kikar, which is tahora, even though he doesn't know which one it is. Hacha ha'ika tahora. But here in our case of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, we have one kikar that's vadai, that's certainly tahora, and it's royal Erev. We don't know which one it is. And maybe Rav Meir would say in this case the Erev is valid because in any event he was Meiniach an Erev that's Roy Lachila. Although again, befall he's not going to be able to eat it because he doesn't know which one is Tmeya. Oh, Dilma, now the Gemara says, Afilu Rav Yossi. I can even ask this question according to Rav Yossi, who says that Safek Erev is kosher. Rav Yossi lo ka'amar elo hasam. In our Mishnah, the Safek Truma Tmeya, meaning it was Tahora and became Tmeya, came into Isa, Dehi Tahora, the one that is Tahora, is in front of us. And therefore we can look at it, and we could say that for sure, Hamid Truma Al Cheskoso, and that's exactly where my Erev is. Yadole, he can identify which Kikar is the Kikar of his Erev, and perhaps it was Mutab Achila as Truma Tahora Bein Hashmashos. Aval Hocha, but in the case where he knows that one of these two Kikros is Tmeos, but he doesn't know which of the two, Halo Yodale. You know, you can't point to any particular Kikar and say, well, that's going to be my Erev, because he has no clue which one of the two is actually Royal Erev. And in such a case, maybe even Rabbi Yossi would agree that the Erev is Bata, is Pasul. Amale, Rav Huna responds to Rav Shmuel, and he says, Bein le Rabbi Yossi, Bein le Rabbi Meir, Be'inon Sudaruya v'Bodyom v'Leka. In this case, everybody's going to agree that the Erev is invalid, because the precondition for an Erev is that in the entry, at the onset of Shabbos, you're able to eat the Erev. Here, there's no way that you can eat the Erev, because if you choose either one of these two kikros, you might be violating an Iser Doraisa of Achilas Truma Tmeya. Boy, Minei Rav, Amir Rav Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman, Kikar Zu Hayom Chol, Ulamachar Kodesh. Now, we cannot make an Erev with Hegdesh. But on the other hand, he said about this Chulin, that today, during the course of the day, it will be chulin. When the night enters, it becomes hegdesh. And he did this on Erev Shabbos. So let's analyze this question. The Omar, he says to Shliach, Erev u'libazeh, use this kikar as an Erev Mahu. Shall we say that in Bein HaShmoshos, which is Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila, we have to worry that perhaps the Kedusha, the Hekdesh, was Chal, because again he said, Ulamachr starts with nighttime. It should become Hekdesh. So then immediately at the outset of Shabbos, which coincides with Laila, it became Hekdesh. And therefore, it's the Erev could not be Chal. Amalei. And Rav Nachman responded to Rava, Eruvo Eruv. The Erev is Chal. And this is a pillow. Right now, at this point, we don't understand the answer of Rav Nachman to Rava. How could it be this that this Eruv is valid when he said, Lamachar Kodesh, it's Hegdesh from the beginning of the night. So at that moment when the Eruv should be Chal, it was already Hegdesh, and there's no valid Eruv with Hegdesh. So that's what Rava is going to... So first of all, Rava asks a second question to Rav Nachman, and he flips it around the other way. Here's a case of a kikar and erev Shabbos, and he declares Hayom Kodesh, today it should be Kodesh, L'machar, meaning on Shabbos, it should become Hegdesh. I'm sorry, what did I just say? That tomorrow it should become Hegdesh, sorry. Hayom Kodesh, today it should be Kodesh, today meaning Friday, Ulamachar on Shabbos Chol, meaning immediately we will redeem the Hegdesh. I have Mos in my house, and it will become Chol. And then he tells Yom Lishliach Ervu li bekikar zemau, and Omo Le Rav Nachman responds, Ein Eruvo Eruv. So here's a very strange scenario. Or shall I say a strange sequence of a dialogue. On the one hand, in the case of Kikar Zu Ayom Chol Amocha Kodesh, Rav Nachman was Machsha the Erev. On the other hand, in the case of Kikar Zu Ayom Kodesh Lamocha Chol, he passed the Erev. Maishna, what's the logical distinction between these two cases? If Beit HaShmoshos is a Sofek Yom Sofek Laila, what difference would it make whether he said Ayom Chol Ulamachar Kodesh and Rav Nachman is Mekil because of the Sofek, and the Erev is Kona because the Kikar only became Hegdesh tomorrow, and the case of Ayom Kodesh Ulamachar Chol, you know, why not say that the Kikar became Chol, and why should you be Machmir? You should be validating the Erev. What's the logical distinction between these two cases? And the Pesach of Rav Nachman remains to be understood. Amalei, so Rav Nachman himself clarifies his answer to Rava. And first he cracks a little bit of a joke. He says to him, L'chitechul alei kura de milcha. In other words, if you want to understand my logic and what underlies my distinction between the two cases of Hayom Kodesh or Hayom Chol, then first go out and find salt and measure out a kur of salt. That's a massive amount of salt. And after you finish measuring it, then pay it to me as money so that I'll give you the answer and I'll explain it to you. This is again, the humor of the Talmud is a little different than our humor. The Rashash tries to explain this kind of phrase, and he says, Shebehechrech Omer Rav Nachman Kein Bibdichus. He really meant it as a joke. Lohuskara. The Gemara, Sharava Mother, Lo Melach, the Gemara never says that Rav Nachman gave the answer to Rav because Rav went out and he measured all the salt. And he says that Rashi and Shabbos, where there's a similar quote of this idiomatic phrase, says that Omelo, Af im yamol zman Rav, even if you'll take all this time to dig up a kikar of a kur of Melach, is till you get together all the melach and you're able to set it up as a core, you won't be able to figure out the difference between the two. In other words, he was sort of tempting him to say that there is a fundamental difference between the two. Okay, so now let's go through the cases and see if we can get the logic of Rav Nachman. Bein HaShmosh, as we said, and we've mentioned this on many occasions, is a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Therefore, if he declares, and you may remember that this was the first of the two questions of Rava, Hayom Kode, Hayom Chol Ulamachar Kodesh. And now the question is, at what point did this Kikar make that transition and become Hegdesh? Is Misfeka Lo Nachtale Kedusha? In other words, we're going to apply the Chazaka that this Kikar is Chulin and remains such until we know certainly otherwise and its status was changed. Therefore, when we enter into the period of Bein HaShmoshes, which is a Suffolk period, and that's the critical moment for the Erev to be Chal, at this point we could say Hamed Kikar or Chulin Al Ches Kaso. But Hayom Kodesh Ulamachar Chol. But in a case where he says today is Kodesh, so we know that now as we get to Bein HaShmoshes, the Kikar is definitely Kodesh, it's Hegdesh. Now you want to change his status. Is Misfekel Opakalei Kedushas Amidei? You're not going to say that it's L'machar. We don't know if it's L'machar because we have a Safek of Bein HaShmoshes. And therefore, we're going to establish the Chazaka of whatever the situation was earlier, and it was Hegdesh. And therefore, the Erev is not an Erev. Beautiful. Tanan Hossam. Once we're talking about Bein HaShmoshes and the Chalos Erev and Bein HaShmoshes, let's learn a Mishnah in Masechta Tevulyot. Lugin. So this is a Mishnah about Lugin. The Targum Yonah son, on the word Lugin, in Breishis Perkhov Dalit, says it means kad, some sort of a jar. Rashi describes it in Masechta Shabbos as gadol mikos v'katan michavis. So it's a jug that's larger than your regular size cup, but it's not as large as a barrel. And the Aruch claims that the word lug is actually a Greek word, and it means a klisha mechil shir lug. So it's a kli that has the capacity for holding a lug of liquids. Tful yom. The status of this jar of wine is that of a tful yom. In other words, this yayin had contracted tuma. It was sealed up in a closed lug, and they put it into the mikvah. But that's not enough, because when a kli contracts tumah and you put it into the mikvah, it's still possible, as far as its maga betruma is concerned, during the entire day until Harif Shimsha, meaning after Shkiyas Achama. So the status of this lug is that as far as passing truma, it still has its status as tumah until after Bein HaShmoshes. Till Harif Shemesh. Shemilo min chavis shel maser. Tevel. In other words, he filled up a barrel of wine that was maser rishon, that was designated for the Levi, but it's still tevel because the Levi has not yet been mafris trumas maser. V'yomar. And he declares, Harei zeh, let the yayin in the lug be trumas maser. Now, again, you can't set it up as truma during the course of the day because it's in a lug, and that lug has tuma of a tful yom, and it's not yet harif shemesh, but he says, lichshe techshach, that immediately with nightfall, the yayin in the lug should become trumas maser on the yayin in the chavis. And after Techshach, the kli, this lug that's holding on to the yain, is tahar. and therefore it's roy for the iron inside. It's suitable and appropriate for the iron inside this log to become truma. Is dvarim kayamim. The Mishnah says in Tful Yom that as soon as it becomes dark, it becomes trumas maser, and it's truma tahora. Why? Because it only became truma with nightfall. And at that moment, the kli itself became tar, because again, he was tovil the kli mibajom during the daylight. He just has to wait till Erev Shemesh. At that particular moment, it became tar. But the im amar ervuli bizeh lo amar klu. If on Erev Shabbos, he says to shliach, set up the yayin in the log as an eruv, then the eruv is not valid, because when we get to Bein HaShmashos, the yayin is still tevel. Why? Because it's only at the end of Bein HaShmashos, that's when we have Lila, and that's when the status of the log changes from tamei to tar. Because, as we said before, in a case of a tful yom, we have to wait till Harif Shemesh, which means the end of the sunset, when night begins. And his Erev has to be chal before that, during Bein HaShmashos. Amar Rava says we could derive a major conclusion based on this mission in Tful Yom. Zoso Meres, Sofa Yom, Kone Eruv. It means that as soon as the day ends, that's when you're Kone Eruv, which is before nightfall. It's during that period of Bein HaShmashos. That's the end of the previous day, meaning Friday in this case. And already at the beginning of that period of time of Bein HaShmashos, the Eruv has to be Kone Shvisa. It has to be effective. Well, guess what? It's impossible for the log to effectuate an Eruv at that point, because the log will only be chal as truma and have the status of truma tahora, trumas masa in this case, at the end of Bein HaShmashos with Harif Shemesh, with Lila. And here we turn to Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. The Isal Kedaita. Rava's logic is the following: if you're going to hold no, that it's not Sofa Yom Kona Eruv, but rather Tchila Sayom, meaning the beginning of Shabbos, Kona Eruv. I Omer Eruv Libazel My Lo Omer Klum. This would be a perfectly valid Eruv with the log, because the log becomes tar at the end of Bein HaShmashos, and we're now holding that Tchila Sayom Kona Eruv, that the Eruv is Kona Shvisa at the beginning of the next day, which means after Bein HaShmashos. And at that moment in time, it's already Truma Tahora, and the Eruv should be Chal. Omer Av Papa Filu Teim, if I hold that Tchila Sayom Kona Eruv, I'm going to go back to the opinion that the Erev is Chal with Tchilas Hayom, which means the beginning of Shabbos, which again, Rava said that if it's Tchilas Hayom, then there's no way you can reconcile the Psul in this Brice of the Erev. And the answer is, it's Tchilas Hayom Kona Erev, but nevertheless, the Erev is invalid. Why? Dibe'inon Sudar Uya Mibodyom Vileka. Even if the Erev is only to be Chal with Tchilas Hayom, meaning at the end of Bein HaShmashos and the beginning of Laila of Shabbos, nevertheless, when you went into Shabbos at that point, you could not drink the wine, because in order to set up the Harif Shemesh, that would be Metayr the Yayin, Mi Tumas Tful Yom. You have to wait till the end of Bein HaShmashos. So as he enters into Bein HaShmashos and sets up his Eruv, he does so with yayin that's not royal shtia. He can't drink that wine, because he's only allowed to drink that wine when the status of Tful Yom is uplifted, is removed, and that's going to be at the end of Bein HaShmashos. So again, even though at the end of Bein HaShmashos, that's Tchilas Hayom Shel Shabbos' Kona Eruv, and you would have said, and Rava would certainly have said, that at that moment in time, it becomes both Tar, as Truma Tahora, and it is Kona Eruv, Nain, says Rav Papa, you have to sit down during Bein HaShmashos a Suda Ru'uya, which will be Chal as an Eruv at the end of Bein HaShmashos. if I could use brisket terminology, I would say the following. There's a maisa and there's a chalos. The maisa is putting down the eruv. The chalos could be a little bit later on. We could postpone and delay the chalos. That's what we have here according to Rav Papa. The maisa of hanochas eruv takes place at Bein HaShemoshos. And the chalos eruv is chal at the end of Bein HaShemoshos. And one of the conditions in the maisa hanochas eruv is that it be a suda ruya lachila, and this is not a suda ruya lachila because it's still considered mibod yom. In other words, we haven't yet gotten to Harif Shemesh, and therefore the status of this yayin is that of Tomei, of Truma Tmeya, and therefore, according to our Papa, the Erev is invalid. And this leads us to the Mishnah here on the top of Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. A little bit of background in the Mishnah. We're talking about now Erev Tchumen on Erev Shabbos. He's got to set up his Erev outside the Tchum, at the end of the Tchum, and that's going to give him another 2,000 Amma beyond the Erev, wherever he puts down the Erev. Now, what happens if a person is a little bit unsure as to whether or not he wants the Erev to be Chal? It could be that he won't need the Erev. Well, he's in deep trouble, because if he set up an Erev, that's where he's Kona Shvisa. And if he decides he doesn't need that Erev, he's going to be stuck in his house. Maybe we'll give him Dalet Amos, but that's about all. Later on, we're going to have a case where he's not sure whether he wants to put the Erev on the east or on the west. So let's see if a person could set up a Tanai that will cover all his bases. For example, the Mishnah says, Masna Adam al Eruvo. Let's say a person wants to put down two Eruvim. He wants to put one on the Tzad Mizrach, and the other on the side, Marov. He's not sure in which direction he'll have to go. V'yomer, and he declares, Im bo nochrim min ha-mizrach, if these goyim who are running after me will come from the east, then eruve la-marov. I'm going to take and validate the eruv that's on the western side, which will give me a full 4,000 amma, 2,000 amma to the border of the city, and 2,000 amma beyond the eruv. And this is going to be great. And even though the Nachrim didn't show up, you know, when he put down his Erev Bein HaShemoshos, nevertheless, that's fine. And he says, Eruvo im bo Nachrim in HaMizrach, Eruvo LaMizrach, I'm sorry, Eruvo LaMarov, V'im in HaMarov, Eruvi LaMizrach. If, on the other hand, the Goyim are going to come from the western side, I want to be able to run away towards the eastern side. So I want the Erev on the eastern side to give me that extra 2,000 amma. And the Mishnah says Masna. Masna means that this is a valid Tanai. And he gets to choose which of his two Erev and he wants to be Chal. Even though that choice is going to be made on Shabbos. In Bo, Lakan, Ulakan. And he makes a stipulation that if the Goyim will surround him both on the Mizrach and the Marav, L'makom she'atzeh elech, I'll decide tomorrow, based on I don't know what, I'll flip a coin. Well, you can't flip a coin on Shabbos, but anyway, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and I'll decide which way to go, towards the east or towards the west. Lo bo, lo lekan, lo lekan. If, on the other hand, the Goyim don't show up tomorrow at all, is Areni Kibnei Ha'ir. I want to have my Shvisel, just like the other members of my city, in my house. And that's going to allow me to go 2,000 hours in any direction from the outskirts of the city. Here's another case of Tanai. Im b'chacham. In other words, he wants to go out and greet the Talmud Chacham. Maybe the Chacham is going to give a great shir, a great drasha. So he says, "Im b'min ha-mizrach he comes on the eastern side is yiknel eruv le-mizrach. I want my mizrach to be the valid eruv. But im b'min ha-marav, if he shows up on the western side, is eruv le-marav. Or Balakan Ulakan, if let's say two Chachamim come, one from the east and one from the west, is Lamakum Sheretz Eilich, I'll decide tomorrow which Chacham I want to hear and greet. Lo Lakan, for Lo Lakan. If the Chacham doesn't show up, not on the west nor on the east, Hareini Kibnei Ha'ir, I want to have the regular status of a Ben Ha'ir, my bias becomes my centerpiece. And from there, I'll go 2,000 Amo outside the Tchum. All this is according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda rejects this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in all these cases, we have to analyze case by case and come to a decision whether or not the Erev is valid. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Hoya Echad Meam Rabo, if we have reason to believe that he really wants to go in one particular direction or the other. Because if one of the two Chacham that are coming in is his Rebbe, Holy Chetzel Rabba, then we certainly can assume, this is what we call an Umdana, in which we shots up his mindset, that certainly he wants to go in the direction where his Rebbe Muvok is going to show up. Which means that Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally accepts the possibility that he can determine on Shabbos, make that decision, which of the two Erevin he wants to accept. The Gemara says, Ki Yasser Rabbi Yitzchak Tani Ibcha Kula Masnisen. He brought a brisa that as the names changed in the opposite direction, and in our Mishnah, which says that a person who wants to run away from Goyim, and he wants to make a Tanai, that his Erev should be Koneh, Shvis on his behalf, Keneged, on the other side where the Goyim are coming in, or in the case of a Chacham, he wants his Erev to be Chal on the side of the Chacham, is Yiknelo Shvis of a Tzachimeno a Chacham of Yil Braisim of El Hepa, Adam Chafetz Lavo Min Elan Nochrim, Umasne. So I made a mistake. I rescind what I said before. Ibcha doesn't mean. Very often Ibcha means to change the names. Here the word Ibcha means that we're going to change the circumstances. And we're going to come to the exact opposite conclusion. The Bryce is going to say that Dafka, he made a statement that if the Nochrim come from the west, then he wants the Erev to be Chal on the west, in the direction of the Nochrim. If they're coming from the east, he wants it to be on the east. And if the Chacham comes from the west, he wants it on the east. He wants to run away from the Chacham. So, Kasha Nochrim HaNochrim, Kasha Chacham HaChacham. We have a double stira. So, Gemara answers, Nochrim HaNochrim Lo Kasha HaBefar HaGavna HaBimorei Demosa. So, HaGavna, the tax collectors. And certainly, and our Mishnah wants to go in the opposite direction of the tax collectors. He doesn't want to get caught, and they're going to squeeze him for every last dime. They're going to say he owes the government taxes. But Hada Bryce is talking about Mori de Masa, when the Moshel, the mayor of town, would come around. That was a great opportunity, because when the mayor showed up, it meant if you have any grievances or any needs that I have to take care of, now's the time to ask me. So therefore, the Bnei Ha'ir would want to gravitate towards the Moshle Ha'ir. Maybe they could relieve some of the tension. They could be mafias them. And maybe the Goyim will give them welfare and give them a manak for the pandemic. You know, so they're moving in the direction towards the Rosh Ha'ir, the Moshle Ha'ir. Chacham HaChacham Lo Kasha. Why would a person run away from his Chacham? Ha B'mosiv Pirkei. Ha b'mikrei shma. If the Chacham is coming, l'mosiv pirkei, to give his drasha publicly, then of course the Jew wants to go hear the public drasha, and therefore he makes the tanai that his Erev should be in the side of the direction of the Chacham. But the Bryce is talking about a mikrei shma, meaning about a tashbar situation, meaning a Chacham that's teaching young children to read. Read kriyat shma. He's teaching him how to daven. And in such a case, if there's a Chacham who's coming to Darshan from the east, and there's a Chacham who's coming to teach the children Kriyat Shema from the west, he wants his Erev to be on the east. because he's not a katan, he's not a child who has to come and hear, you know, how to read Kriyat Shema properly. He wants to hear the drasha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imhoya Echemem Rabbo, Holech Eitzel Rabbo. If we know that one of the two Chachamim is his Rebbe, then that's the direction where he certainly wants to go. The Rabbanon, they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. They hold that even in this case, where one of them is Rebbe, they didn't make any qualifications, he can go to which Chacham he ever wants. He lets himself decide. Why would he leave himself a decision which Chacham to go when this Chacham who's coming here on the West is his Rebbe Muvak? And the answer is, the Zimnin de Nichalei Bechavrei Tfei Mi Rabbi. Sometimes a person prefers to learn with the Chavrusa better than to learn with the Rebbe. I mean, in our case, we're learning B'chavrusa, so that's good. Anyway, he says he hasn't made a definite decision whether he wants to go hear his Rebbe, or maybe on this occasion, he may want to decide to hear his Chaver, somebody who's less than a great scholar, but nevertheless, he can get more personal attention. Now, what we see in our Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda accepts what's called the Din of Brera on a Doraisa level, which means that a person could say that tomorrow I'll decide which of my two Erevin is going to be the valid Erev. Or I'm going to leave it to chance and see where the Nachri is going to come from, and that's going to determine which of my two Erevin is valid. That's called Brera. Brera means when in its moment and you set it up, it's unclear, and later on the situation is going to arise which is going to clarify retroactively what you set up at the get-go. And Rabbi Yehuda apparently accepts in our Mishnah Brera. Brera is a valid din. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Lesa Lamas Nisan. Throw out our Mishnah. Do not rely on our Mishnah. Midatani Ayo, because we have a Brisa of Ayo. And although our Mishnah assumes that what underlies Rabbi Yehuda's sheet in our Mishnah is Yesh Brera, we're going to see from the Brisa of Ayo that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Brera. And Rabbosai, most of the sugya is going to revolve around the question whether we should accept the Mishnah and reject Ayo, which is a Brisa, or we should accept Ayo and give that preference and reject the Mishnah. Right now, the Gemara thinks that according to Rav, we should give preference to the Brisa of Ayo against that Mishnah. The Tani Ayo, what is the Brisa of Ayo? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Adam Masnal Shnei Dvarim Kechad. A person can't make a t'nai on two chachamim that are about to show up tomorrow on Shabbos and say, I'm going to set up an Erev on this side, an Erev on that side, so that tomorrow I'll be able to go whichever chacham I choose. Since at Benish Mashos, when the Erev has to be Kona, it's not clear. Ein Brera. We can't say that tomorrow the decision is going to be made to clarify the Mafreya. What happened today? Ella. But rather, the only t'nai that he can make is the following. If there's only one Chacham, not two, he just doesn't know whether the Chacham is coming from the east or from the west, in Ba Chacham LeMizrach, then he declares that if it turns out that the Chacham comes from the east, Eruvo LeMizrach, I want my Erev on the right side, on the eastern side. In Ba Chacham LeMarv, if it shows up on the west side, Erev LeMarv, I want the Erev to be on the Marav. Avalakan ulakan lo. But if he says that tomorrow I'll make a decision which Erev I want based on my flimsy, you know, my impetuous decision tomorrow, that's not a valid Erev. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Brera. So now we have a stira between Ayo and his tradition and the tradition of the Mishnah. Ayo transmitted Rabbi Yehuda saying, Ein Brera. And our Mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda validates Brera. But wait a second. Before we get to that, let's try to understand Ayo's Brisa internally. Maishna lekan ulekan de lo dien Brera lemizuch lemarav nami ein Brera. Why is it that in a case where he has two chachamim, one is going to show up on the east and one on the west, Rabbi Yehuda admits that lekan ulekan lo, the heir of his bottle. And why is it invalid? Because ain't Brera. And here's where we quoted the Brisa of ayo, to prove that Rav Yehuda holds ein brera. What about the case when there's only one chacham, and he says lemizrach, if the chacham shows up on the eastern side, that's where I want my eruv. If he shows up on the Meirav side, that's where I want my eruv. Nami ein brera. Even if there's only one chacham, we still don't know at Beina Shmoshos whether the chacham is going to come from the east or from the west. And it's only on Shabbos that we'll clarify the Mafreya retroactively where he was kon eruv, whether it was the one on the east or the one on the west. On Rabbi Yochanan Ukvar Bo Chacham, the case in the Brice of Ayo is that the Chacham already came. Again, they didn't have Facebook and the like, so nobody got the message that the Chacham came from the east. So at this point, when he sets up his Eruv on Erev Shabbos, wherever the Chacham is, he may be on the east, he may be on the west, as far as I can tell. In truth, he's on the east, but I'm going to set up an Eruv on the east, plus another Eruv on the west. And I'm going to find out later on where the Chacham is. But that's not Lemafreya. Lemafreya means when an action tomorrow will determine the transaction of today. Here, the transaction is already determined. Klapishmaya Galia, up in heavens, they know that the Erev is on the eastern side because that's where the Chacham came before Shabbos. It's just a question. You don't know about it. So tomorrow you'll find out which Erev was the valid Erev. That's not a violation of Brera. And therefore, in such a case where, says Rabbi Yochanan, the Chacham already showed up, in such a case, the Eruv would be Chal. So Gemara asks the following question, Adarab, Leisei L'dayom Masnisa? Why does Rav insist that we accept the Brisa of Ayo and defer, or shall I say, neutralize the Mishnah as we have it? Why not do the opposite? Pugfaker. We should say lesser Dayo. We should reject the price of Dayo, that Dayo records Rabbi Yehuda saying, Ein Breira, we accept the Masnisen, let's validate our Mishnah. Mishnah is always greater than a Brisa. So more answers, Lo Salka Daitoch. Why? Because in addition to the Brisa of Dayo, we also have another Brisa. And that other Brisa is going to again prove that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Breira. So you have two Brises against one Mishnah. Dashamina Leila Rabbi Yehuda de Lesle Breira. Where do we find a Brisa where Rabbi Yehuda rejects Breira? And this would support the position and the transmission of Ayo. This Sanya we learned in a Brisa. Halokeach Yayin Mibena Kusim. So the Kusim were Goyim that were afraid of the Jews and they decided to join the Jewish nation, but we're not sure whether they gave us whether their conversion was valid or not valid. And the halacha is that with the course of time, it became clear that the Kusim were very laid back about Shmiras HaMitzvahs. In fact, in one Gemara, it seems to testify that they were still worshipping idols. Now, as far as Torah law is concerned, although the Kusim were laid back, like for example, we wouldn't believe them on a Din D'Rabbanon. But in a case of a Doraisa, like for example, Maaser, which is written in the Torah, then you might say, let's trust them. But the Rabbanon made a Takana and they said, we're not going to trust the Kusim. They're not reliable. And therefore, our Brisa says that if you buy yayin, you buy wine from the kusim, then we assume that stam kusi eino mafris trumas of maestris, and therefore you're going to have to be mafris trumas of maestris. The yayin that you buy from kusim has a cheskas tevel. We assume it's tevel, and you have to be mafris. Now, the Gemara appears here also in Gittin on Daf Chof Hei, and the Brice itself holds that Kusim Gere Emese. Why? Why do we have to validate the status of Kusim and their Geras as Jews? Because otherwise, if we bought Yayin from the Kusim, there'd be no need to be Mafris Trumas and Maisritz. It doesn't have a Cheskas Tevel, because if you buy Truma from a, if you buy Tevel Sorry. If you buy tefuah from a guy, then it's not chayiv in truvus of maisus. So obviously, as the Gemara clarifies again, we're talking about kusim geri emesim, that we do accept that gerus, even though it came from, you know, for ulterior motives. However, we don't trust them. Okay. Now, let's say that he buys yayin from the kusim, and he has no kalim. The buyer has no extra kalim to take off maser. So what can he do? And here we're up to Daf Lamed Zayin Omid Aleph. Omer, he can make the following declaration. Shnei lugim shenai osid lahafrish. I don't know which part of the yayin I'm going to separate as trumas and maisris. And let's say there are male lugim in this kli that he bought from the kusi. Harein truma, that there should be two lugim of truma. Let's say he has 100 lugim of yayin that he bought in this big, large kli from the kusi. Two lugim out of 100 that I will be mafresh tomorrow should be truma. Harei ain't truma, and the truma is valid. Then he goes on, he says, asara and 10 parts, 10% of what's ever left after taking away the two lugim of yayin. So out of the 98 lugim, 9.8 should be maser rishon. And tisha, when I'm left with 9, it should be maser sheni. Right? Because once I've reduced it down to a low level, so let's say I have, instead of having 100, I have 90. Again, we're rounding it off. So out of the 90, I want to be mafresh 9 as maaser sheni. Umechal. And then he could go ahead and be mechalel and maaser sheni on Mos. And v'shosa miyad divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that after he sets up this entire Tanai situation, he's allowed to drink from the wine. In other words, he has removed all the Isur Tevel, and he has in effect been mekayim the mitzvah of Truma, plus Maaser Rishon, plus Maaser Sheni, Al Tzdik, the whole 9 yards. Why? Because Rabbi Meir holds from Brera. So tomorrow, when he decides which of the Lugim he's going to set aside for the Kohen, for the Levi, etc., and Maaser Sheni, then Lemafreya, that Afrasha was good, and whatever he drank in the meantime was fine, it was not Tevel. But Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Osrim. So we see on this list, we have Rabbi Yehuda, and he says that this is Osir. Obviously, he holds Ein Brera. Because if he holds Ein Brera here, then what we have is a mixture of Truma and Chulin together, all mixed up together. And there's no possibility of clarifying which is Truma and which is Chulin. In any event, we see clearly from this Brisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds Ein Brera. And we saw that in the price of Ayah, that Rabbi Yehuda held Ein Brera in the case where he wants to set up his Erev on two different sides and decide tomorrow which side is going to be an Erev. And therefore we're going to prefer Ayah and his transmission, even if it means putting the Mishnah on hold. Because we have two brises that indicate that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Brera. Ula Omar, Lesoli Ayo Mimas Nisin. We're going to have to take a Mishnah and reject a brisa. We reject the brisa of Ayo. We're going to assume that Rabbi Yehuda actually holds Yesh Brera, as we saw in our Mishnah. Vela Hodeka Tani. Aye, in the case of Lokech Yayim and Akusim, we saw the Braisa, and it says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Osrim, is Ula Zuze Zuze Ktani. You shouldn't read it as Rabbi Meir on the one side, and against Rabbi Meir on the other side, you have Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, but rather put the period after the word Rabbi Yehuda. That's called Zugi Zugi. You know, it's divided up not one against three, but two against two. So according to Ula's version of this Braisa, dividing up the Tanoim as Zugos Zugos, we're going to read it like this. Halokeach Yayim Ibein HaKusim. Now we're going to say that Hafrasha is valid. Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda as well agrees that the Hafrasha is valid. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osrim. So we see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Meir, holds Yesh Brera. And that reflects what we saw in our Mishnah in the case of two Erevin. Okay, now Rabbosai, this is where we're going to stop. And tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we have a little bit of a head start on the sugya on Daf Lamed Zayin.